Hey, what's up, everybody? It is right inside the 2 o'clock hour on this here lovely Monday afternoon in the city of Muskegon. Y'all, spring is here.
Yes,
Finally. Finally.
Finally, at least for a couple of days.
Right. And
Knock on wood, it's
Me too.
here.
I'll take that. I got to put these boys to work when I get home. You know what I'm saying? Come on, rake these little couple leaves up.
They're gonna be like, oh, mom.
Oh, you know, they're not gonna love it. They're not gonna love it, but that's their responsibility, you know.
Train them up.
Train them up. That's right. So, again, y'all, welcome to Making Moves Monday right here on 103.7 The Beat. I am your host, Jen Ross, and I come to you every Monday with what's going on in the community. So before I get into my wonderful guest today, we got a couple updates. So, you know, I had Kaya Thornton Hunter on with me last week in the Us Cafe, Overcoming Barriers. And she has her annual, second annual Us Cafe block party coming up.
Yay.
Woo! It is going to be May the 28th, right there on Barney and Maffitt, in the wonderful city of Muskegon Heights. And last year, you know, we shut the block down and
That we
had
did.
a ball. Just
Absolute.
people coming out and spending money and you know, nothing but
Fellowship.
entrepreneurs out there. Yeah,
The
fellowship. We
fellowship
ate
was
good.
Sure did.
Had a good time. So that is happening again this year, May 28th, like I said, right in front of Kaya's the Us Cafe, right there on Barney and Maffitt. So put it on your calendar. Come on out. There is still vending opportunities available. So
Wow.
if you have a product, you know, you've been a lot of entrepreneurs came out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So
Product or service.
yeah,
Yeah.
product or services. Yeah.
Oh dear.
So we need more food vendors. I think only two have signed up so far. So we definitely need more food vendors. Shout out to Danny Lane. Danny Lane said, Jen, whatever you doing,
Can you
I
say
want to be in.
Danny Lane?
Yeah. He said, whatever you doing, I want to be in. So
That's what's up.
yeah. So he definitely would be out there. And then there's one more. But we definitely could use more food vendors for this event and other events. Speaking of other events, we got, hold on. I couldn't hear De'Erica. We got also the Juneteenth celebration. So
Yay.
third annual Juneteenth celebration, y'all.
That's gonna be dope.
Every week for probably the last 2 months, I get like emotional at least one day. Because like, and
Oh, woo,
y'all know I don't be emotional like that.
woo,
I know. Y'all know I do not be emotional like that, but y'all, this has you know, become my baby. And it's like I said, the third year, and you know, it's growing every year. So first year we started out just 8th Street fireworks. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Second year, which was last year, hired a professional fireworks team. We had just some food vendors out there, live music, but we still had a good time.
Yes.
This year,
Uh-oh.
baby. More, right.
Right.
So this year, definitely the fireworks are going to happen every year. So let's just, you
That's
know,
Put
we're
that
going to
on out there.
utilize that Mona Lake for whatever we can. So,
Right now.
fireworks are definitely happen every year. So that will be Sunday, June 19th. We also will have more live entertainment, a DJ, more vendors, and just community resource partners too, people that can, you know, link you to different organizations in the community that may be able to, you know, help you if you have, you know, needs, right?
What's up?
So we have to give a huge shout out to all these sponsors that's done came through this year. Like all of them. And I gotta give Lady J here at the station props for the sponsorship packet. I, you know, there was a vision and she made it come all the way to life.
That's what's
So
up.
kudos
she
to
did.
Lady J.
Yeah, good old Lady J. So gotta give a shout out to our sponsors. It's a lengthy list. So cover yourselves accordingly.
bear with her.
Yeah. Let me clear my throat. So we got ADAC Automotive, Muskegon Intermediate Library, AgeWell Services, Muskegon Civic Theater. We have Tyler Sales. We have Muskegon Community College. We have the Community Foundation, which came through with a grant. We got Country Cooking. We have Trinity Health. We have Progressive Democratic Women's Caucus of Muskegon. Wow. Hackley Community Care. We have Brianna T. Scott and Associates. We have Bowen Heating and Cooling. We have the United Way. We have Parmenter Law. We have the Mart Dock, Shoreline Staffing, Ready Rental, Webb Chemical, City of Muskegon Heights, and of course, our media sponsor, 103.7 The Beat.
Wow.
We also have the Muskegon Rotary Club. So this year is going to be a little bit different because in past years, it's been a one-day thing.
Right.
Well, this year, it's not one, not two, but 3 days, okay?
Oh.
It is 3 days, and the kickoff will be the Muskegon Rotary Club holding their annual community mixer that Friday evening. So, you know, the Muskegon Rotary Club does, you know, a lot of things in the community and have held pre-pandemic. I think this is the first year after, you know, post-COVID. I'll say that because it's still out here.
Right.
But, post-COVID that they've done the mixer. And typically it's either at Rowan Park or Mona Lake in the Heights. And so this year we are collaborating with the Muskegon Rotary Club. And they will be kicking off the weekend with their community mixer on that Friday evening. So another community event, stuff for the kids. It's just going to be a dope weekend.
Sounds like it's going to be epic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss it.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry.
I'll go live for you.
Yeah,
please do. So I can feel like I'm a part of everything that's happening.
Yeah. And if you want to, you know, keep up to date with the things that are going on, the Block Party does have a Facebook page. Yes. Juneteenth also has a Facebook page. That's how we've been announcing the sponsors and all the information as it's coming along. So, you know, we about six weeks out for Juneteenth, but I guarantee you guys it's going to be a celebration as it should be.
It should be a week.
And
I just thought, girl, wait. You know, my eye was twitching last week. Let me see if I make sure my eye don't start twitching again this week. A week. Ciao.
Okay, at least Thursday. Start Thursday.
On Thursday. Okay. Yeah, we could do that. Okay. So, yeah, this year. Oh, then on Saturday. Saturday, working with Kumasi Mack to do some poetry that night. And also a business mixer. So, business owner mixer.
Okay.
Where people can just come and network and have a good time. And, you know, still working on the licensing for the beer tent, but hopefully that is coming too. And that will be there all 3 days.
Oh, you done spoke it, so it's on the way.
On the way. Yeah. Up here.
There it is.
Yes. And shout out again to Tyler Sales for all the resources that they've provided and just for being a business in the city of Muskegon Heights. Yes. They've been there for a while. So shout out to Jim. I've been running into him all over the place now. So shout out to Jim, Tyler, and the partners over there. You know, just for all that they've done. And yeah, y'all listen, put it on your calendar.
It's about to go down.
It's going to go down.
Yeah, I got a band from Detroit.
Ooh.
I know.
Are you keeping their names under wraps?
No. Well, we got to sign this contract and get the deposit paid. And then
we can.
We're going to put them on out here.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. So a couple of young cats from Detroit.
Oh, that's
really good.
Up.
Yeah. Really good music. So
that's what's up.
And then, of course, Unique Soul again.
Okay.
It's coming back this.
Always a good.
And then we're working on one more thing. And then I do got to keep that under my hat until it actually happens. But let's just pray that it does.
Okay. So, you done released into the atmosphere. So
it's going to happen.
Yeah, I hope so. Mm-hmm. So, it's not too late to be a sponsor if you you know, see it in your heart, you want to give, you can be a sponsor. Just get in contact with me, and I'll send you the information as to how or who you can make the check out to. It is a tax deductible donation. Okay. So write this off. For all you entrepreneurs that need to spend a little cash, yeah, we tax season is over, but right. You know, get ready for next year.
It comes back.
Hey, that's one thing they say is for certain, death and taxes, mm-hmm. right?
So
yeah, if you know, still want to give, it is not too late. We'll just add to the fun. So let's see what else. All right, I think that's about it for that. Stay tuned for more information. Also for the Muskegon Heights Festival in the Park. Shout out to Mimi Rankin, who has this, you know, wonderful celebration every year. And they got Sada Baby coming on to the Heights. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So tickets, I believe, are on sale for Sada Baby. So you can get those. I don't have the information for it, but you know, get some tickets. And then they also, I think, have a band a night too. So I got to get the details. But of course, as soon as I get the details, I'll be letting y'all know.
Look like we out here this summer.
We outside.
Outside.
Yes,
outside. We outside. That's what me and Kaya was saying last week. Oh, we outside. It's a lot coming up and going on. So one thing y'all will not be able to say is it ain't nothing to do.
With no heights.
And if you didn't find something to do this past weekend, well, that's you like not doing nothing.
I saw a lot going on social media over the weekend.
And I saw like all the lives and stuff that I saw, like people was having a good time. Shout out to Cheese.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He did his 50th birthday party. I was sad that I couldn't make it, but I had another event. But Cheese did it up for 50, baby.
Yes, he did.
Paradise was rocking.
They had them a good old, good old swinging time.
A swinging time.
A swinging time. all the lies I saw, I was, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were swinging in more ways than one out there, wasn't it? But shout out to Cheese, Charles Ross, man. Thank you for all you do, and happy 50th birthday.
Yeah. Happy 50th. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, well, I ain't there yet.
Well, but, I mean, you know.
It's coming for all of us.
Hey, can I run it?
Yeah, nah, you sure can't.
No,
I wouldn't
like
want
my
to.
Granny say, keep living.
That's that part.
And you know what? And I'm glad I did not run it. I'm glad to be 50.
Yes, yeah, it's a blessing.
It is.
It is a blessing. So, yeah, and then shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Kimmy Sargent, Destiny, and Country Cooking for their annual event, Tux and Chucks, this past weekend. Y'all, that's where I was and had a ball. Okay, so another annual event. So stay, you know, on the lookout for that for next year.
That's good.
She had a young lady, Pretty Strings, hip hop violinist.
Oh,
yeah.
Was too
violent. That's becoming, you know, really popular. You know, the
violinists
and everything.
In town too on Saturday.
Yeah.
At the Fronthaw. So yeah, it was a lot to do. Like I said, if you didn't find something to do this weekend,
that was on you.
That's on you.
Your bad.
Because it was out here. It was out. Everybody was outside.
Except you.
Except
sitting
you.
On that couch.
Yep. So don't complain.
Right.
So then also last night, of course, Kumasi had his Mother's Day open mic at the Hideout. He's in year number 4. Yes. And he had, his feature was One Single Rose from Detroit. And that child, that lady.
She was something, huh?
Yeah, she was something.
She did that.
She spit some knowledge. And then all the guest poets as well. Everybody did such an amazing job last night. It was really good. Yeah, so again, happy Mother's Day, belated to all the mamas out there.
Yes, happy belated Mother's Day to all you beautiful women.
Yeah,
thank you, Jeffrey.
You're welcome.
His voice got deep.
He sure did.
He met that. That was from the soul.
Sure did. Look, sure did.
So yeah, if you're like me and just didn't want to do nothing, and your kids just allowed you to do nothing, I didn't want to do nothing. I did end up going to open mic last night, but the rest of the day.
It was and right, respectfully so. That's a day for you all to do absolutely nothing.
And because we do everything else every other day.
If not for every real. Day.
Every day, yeah.
7 days a week. Just want that one day off.
Yep. Yep. Definitely is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. But
my hat go off to y'all, but it ain't today. Literally, it's not going on today, but my hat off to all you women who are holding it down.
Well, thank you. So you all, you know, people that's watching and people that can hear us on the radio right now, my guests have already been talking and I ain't even introduced yet. But that's just how we do. So in the studio with me today, I have Erica Nichols Woods and Jeff. Oh God,
Walker.
I just typed it this morning. Uh-huh. Oh my God. See, that's that age right there. Cause it's hot in here right now. So they are here to talk about something that they've both been trained in. And so now they have been tasked with training others. And it's something that's so important. I don't know how many of you like watch the scanner page, like on Facebook, you know, the scanner page reports everything that's happening, mm-hmm. you know, anything that the police or fire being called for. And there's multiple pages. But I check it like every morning. It's like, I got to know, is something happening in my neighborhood? You know, I just want to keep up on it. So, if you are like me and you check the page, you'll see that almost every day, there is someone talking about harming themselves. So this is a very, very real subject. Mm-hmm. Something that I think in our community, you know, mm-hmm. being African-American, we just don't talk about it enough because we've been told that
what goes on in the home stays in the home.
Yes. Yes. So, thank you guys for coming on today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
So they will be holding a class on next Tuesday, May the 17th.
Correct.
This one is going to be at Kingdom, at Mahali.
At Mahali.
At Mahali. Yeah. So it's QPR. What is QPR?
QPR is Question, Persuade, Refer. And so basically what that is how to techniques to look at to see if you can notice someone who's in a mental health crisis and with suicide being one of those outlets that they may take. So it would give you the techniques to know what to look for, what to listen for, how to persuade someone to get help, and how to refer them to the appropriate resources.
Okay.
Yep. And most importantly, how to ask the question, which is, are you thinking about harming yourself? And in the training, like different ways to ask the question, but the most part, the bulk of the training is to be able to identify when someone is in a crisis situation and then get right in there and ask a question.
And sometimes that question, like you say, that question, Derek said, can be indirect or it can be direct. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking about harming yourself? Or if you get to the, are you thinking about committing suicide? And we have to get comfortable with asking that question.
Mm-hmm. And how did both of you come to know about this? How long has it been around? How did you come to know about it? And what made you, you know, want to say, I need to put this information out there and I need to be able to help others?
Well, I got trained when I was working at HealthWest as a caseworker in 2015. Someone approached me. Everybody probably knows Michael Pine, who's become like a mentor to me in this process. But he asked me if I wanted to get trained in QPR. At first, I kind of hesitated. It's just not a topic that, you know, we talk about. Mm-hmm. So after thinking about it a little bit more and thinking about the opportunity that it can open up, you know, so I took the training at MCC, which was an 8-hour training. and it was like 36 people in a room, and it was like maybe five African-Americans in a room. And so I took the training, and then I just kind of got right in there and started training other people. And it's kind of like I told people, QPR is kind of like taking first aid. Mm-hmm. You learn the basics of how to do certain things. And it is a certificate-based. So like I said, I've been training since 2015. I've trained staff at Muskegon School, staff at MAISD, the Transition Campus, other organizations. And then my goal is to become a master level trainer at the end of the year, if not the first year. So my goal is to train 1,000 people by the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I would say that I'm kind of like halfway there. So that's like a personal goal. And that's just because there's only two master level trainers. When I say master level trainer, there's someone that trained me. So Michael Pine is a master level trainer. And then there's another person in Michigan. They had to bring somebody all the way in from Illinois to train the 36 that they did. Yeah.
Okay. So is that because there wasn't enough people in Michigan that are on the master level, or?
Nope, no one's just never really inquired about it. So when Michael Pine was approached, I said I'd be a good fit because he's like the suicidal ideology guru.
Mm-hmm.
and very statistical, knows his stuff front and back. And so a lot of people don't know suicide, the training kind of got started as far as like research and putting the training together, got started like in 1999 when Dr. Quinette put together some research and came up with the technique to do the training. So the training's been around. It just hasn't been implemented the way that it has. But as suicide ideations continue to increase, schools and the healthcare entities like say, okay, we need to get our people trained because we're getting patients that are coming in attempting suicide. How do we go about handling them? People are engaged in conversation with other people and really don't know what to do. And so that's how the training kind of came into fruition. And like I said, it's been implemented in organizations, schools, hospitals, churches, family members. You know, I said suicide pretty much affects anybody.
Absolutely. And Jeff, how did you?
So, yeah, I became trained in 2017. So it was a couple of years after Derica, same Michael Pine approach, what let me know about it. And then I went through the training. And for me, the reason why I got involved was because it was more personal for me. I've attempted. So I'm a suicide attempt survivor, and I'm proud to say that because I'm still here. So me getting involved it was personal. And I wanted to be able to help someone get through or learn some things to help them get through the way I was. You know, I didn't have that. I didn't have anybody to ask me that direct question until after the attempt was, you know, committed, you know. And then it was like, why, you know, what everyone was concerned at that point. So I want to be proactive,
yeah,
and help people understand that it's not a white thing. It's not, you know, it's a people thing. It's a human thing. And suicidal ideation is real. And Derica, I love when she always said that mental illness is treatable and suicide is preventable. And I want to be a part of that solution to help prevent suicide.
Wow. Well, I'm gonna say this, and I'm glad you failed.
Yes,
because I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, y'all know I always, you know, I try to make light of things, but yeah. this is still a very, very real subject, because you know, a lot of times what you hear is, well, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as yeah. Black people, we don't do that.
And and that's something that's not the right thing to say.
Right. That's the taboo.
Yeah,
you know? And it's like one of those taboos and one of those myths, but. As we see and we say we don't do it, you take a look at the news, the former Miss USA, Regina King's son, you know, we do it.
Taraji
has opened up about her bouts with mental illness and her father's. And I appreciate the celebrities that have come forth to talk about their mental illness and the issues that they've had, whether or not they have been diagnosed with something or even just
or not.
With depression. You know, as I tell people, we have to get out of the not talking about it to talk about it, because it's affecting the African-American community more rampantly than anything. So,
right.
Yes.
And so speaking of that, speaking of, you know, it affecting our community more, what do you think the cause of that is? Like, what are some of the, do you think it's because, you know, because we're told, you know, what goes on at home stays at home, or, you know, do you think we're just in a time where, you know, maybe it's a little bit better to talk about mental illness? And because, you know, like you said, we was always told, you know,
we don't do that, and we don't discuss what goes on in house, outside of the house. Mm-hmm. I think as far as there being an increase, I believe that the pandemic has something to do with that.
Oh yeah.
And people being displaced from jobs and employment, and you know, the financial infrastructure. Uh-huh. That's the word I was trying. The financial infrastructure of the home has had significantly changed. Mm-hmm. And then also, a lot of people just don't feel people care. You know, again, when I ask a question, when I'm going to talk from the emotional and the personal side of that. Derek is my statistical person. But I got to learn how to get more into the statistics too. But I believe that also that's the reason why people really don't feel as if people care. And that if they care just on the surface, but you know,
how you doing?
Yeah, like when somebody asks, how you doing? My question is, do you really want to know? You know, because if you really want to know, if you're asking to really know, right, then I'll tell you. But right. if you're just saying that as a space filler, then okay, I'm good.
Right. I'm all right.
And so, and then we go through and be like, how you doing? I'm good. I'm all right. But you know, if you hear somebody say they all right, or I'm fine, or I'm good too many times, then something is going on. Mm-hmm. There's something deeper.
Yeah.
Because if no one can ever say, hey, I'm great, I'm doing well today, I'm blessed, something else is deeper. And I've been intentional about making sure that I don't say I'm all right. Yeah. I'm good. I'm great. I'm fine. I'm hey.
Wow. So just a personal question. After your attempt, did you seek therapy or?
Okay. So, okay. Let me rewind. The first time I attempted,
There were multiple times?
I'm a two-time suicide attempt survivor.
Oh.
All right. So the first time I was in my teens, I was about 14, 15. No, I didn't get any help from that. You know, the act was preempted, which I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. You know, but there was a lot of baggage that was with that. Mm-hmm. And when I attempted the last time, it was a situation. Well, the first one was situational too, because I was bullied. I was bullied. You know, mm-hmm. and then there's some other things that it's just like, you know what, bump it. Mm-hmm. So, and then the second attempt was also situational. My marriage had collapsed. It was just, my family just was like, and so then I was like, you know, if in my mind, I felt as if my kids, my sons were being taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I don't have nothing to live for, you know, when I say I do, I'm done. But it didn't work like that. So everything kind of fell apart. So it was situational for me. But then after that attempt, I did seek help.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. You know, I know Derica has worked for it used to be CMH. I can't.
Health West.
Yeah. So, you know, for people who, and I'm going to say this too, so, my son, you know, made a statement before and said it at school. And so they called me immediately, of course. And I went and got him right out of school and we went straight there. Mm-hmm. You know, turns out he was just on some BS and thought it was, you know, he needed some attention. Mm-hmm. Right. He needed some attention. But it did result in, you know, a couple of therapy sessions for him. And, you know, he hasn't mentioned it again. And this was probably, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. You know, and in our mind, you know, as parents, we're like, well, shoot, you got it so much better than what I did. And
so
I
we assume.
Thought, so we assume.
So we assume.
Yeah. But, you know, so I'm like, well, dang, boy, what is your problem? Mm-hmm. You know, because then I start questioning my parenting and, you know, should I do more and overcompensate? But I ain't going to do that. Because that costs a lot of money.
That's it. And that's the thing. It's like, even though his declaration turned out to be unfounded or we have to be able to take every verbal declaration very seriously.
Yeah. And that was the reason why I went and got him. I left work, went and got him. And we went straight there.
Mm-hmm. Kudos to you, because a lot of parents wouldn't have done that. They probably would have taken child up their tail and told them that they was crazy or stupid and never talk about it again.
No, we went straight there because I was like, you know, in my mind, like, you know, if you were to carry this out, how would I feel? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. Yeah.
How would this affect our family, your brothers and sisters?
Right.
And that's how I look at things to this day. Because suicidal ideation does not go away. I had to replace those thoughts with other thoughts, and at that time, you know, I got two biological sons. I have a goddaughter, mm-hmm. and then I have one of my son's best friend who adopted me as his dad. Mm-hmm. So at that time, our hearts have four chambers. So I dubbed them the four chambers of my heart. And if I can't beat for myself, I gotta beat for them.
Right.
And so they're my reasons why I'm still here. Mm-hmm. Even when I can't find reasons to be here for myself.
Right.
Even to this day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I say, it, and this is all, you know, this gets emotional for me.
Oh my God, you know? I'm about to
pull out, but I don't want to. But we don't want to pull
a joke.
I know,
ooh, baby.
Kaya, call in.
It's like
I know, Kaya, call in. but all of that is to say that this is why it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because again. We talk about that this doesn't happen in the Black community, and African Americans don't do that, you know. But there are statistics that states that young males from 20 to 24 have had the highest rate of suicide in the Black population, you know. And so we have to once we start getting those focusing in on those numbers, then we know how seriously this situation is and the light and information that we need to bring to it. This is why Derek and I and many others do what we do with this QPR training.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Breather.
Okay. So let's all take a moment, because this was a lot. This was a lot. And Jen, you know, I didn't, you know, let's just take a moment. Let's take a deep breath.
Yeah. See, all look. Right?
Let's just take a deep breath. You know,
somebody get a drink, please.
Oh my goodness, like
and so,
a real one.
Yeah. You know, and so and it's things like this, because this is a heavy subject.
It
and
is,
so then
it is.
That's why
I wanted to have you guys here also to talk about it, because if you're out there listening or watching the live, and you know, maybe you know someone in your family who has had these thoughts or has actually gone through with it.
Right.
Or a friend, you know, not necessarily a family, a friend or whatever. Is there a age limit, like
for the training?
Yeah.
No,
No.
I would say anyone is 16.
16 and up.
16 and up. And then, yeah, because it's very, it seems like a very mature. But we are seeing, you know, kids younger than that.
We are having these thoughts.
And the thing about it is, this can be altered to meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we do know that kid youth 15 and under are dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so still we need to talk to them as well. We need to get them, you know, the cues to look at their friend to see or listen at what their friends are saying to say, I need to tell somebody. Maybe my homie needs some help.
Right. So. Yeah, I know that in Whitehall they have a peer-to-peer where they train a couple of students in QPR. So they're like the peer to their peers. And there is a youth QPR training. I did one for juniors and seniors. So there is a youth QPR training. But when it comes to anything under the double digits, they kind of talk about like resilience and mental first aid that kind of gets into the onset of depression. So it's kind of like levels too. It depends upon the age when it comes to the actual training. But for the most part, anybody can benefit from the training. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You don't have to be a professional. I trained a young lady at Westco. That was a worker there. She said the training was helpful because this guy kept on coming in and kind of saying stuff, and she was able to take what she learned from the training and identify that he was in a crisis situation. And like I said, it's all about saving life, and she was able to intervene, and the guy ended up getting help. So there are people that are utilizing these skills that they're learning in the training, they're utilizing, and I get feedback all the time. So it's just more detrimental to me or more near and dear because it's just affecting the African-American community, and we have to start talking about it because even in Muskegon, it's affected people in Muskegon just within the last 3 years. Unfortunately, we don't talk about it. It's not in the news, but just knowing somebody that knows somebody, say, hey, you know, my homeboy committed suicide like 2 years ago, or my cousin committed suicide 3 years ago. Like, we've seen it in our backyard. So it's kind of like, hey, we gotta stop closing our mouth. And we gotta talk about it.
Absolutely. And you know, without going too far into it, what are some of the signs to look for?
So when someone is pretty much in a crisis situation, if you know, depends upon your relationship with them, if they show like they begin to lose interest in their hobbies, they may lose an interest or interest in death, religion, they begin to, you know, I've heard someone say, well, if I commit suicide, will I go to hell or will I go to heaven? Continue talking about death. Some people may just get directly in and be like, you know what, I'll be better off without being here.
Mm-hmm.
Some people more direct and saying, well, you won't have to worry about me because I'm not going to be here.
I'm not going to be here long.
Long anyway.
Or if they start giving away prized possessions, things that are really valuable or sentimental to them, and they start giving those things away, mm-hmm. that's an indicator.
Putting affairs in order. Remember the movie with Queen Latifah when she thought she was dying?
Oh, yeah.
She took the money off the bank and did a huge trip and was giving money away when someone kind of starts putting affairs in order. And that can be from insurance policies, making arrangements at a funeral home. When we do the trainings, depends upon who I'm doing the training for, but I try to tie a story in. Whether it's personal or people that I've known or things that I've read, but we had a family member who committed suicide. He shot his daughter, killed his wife, and then he turned a gun on himself and family. Mm-hmm. After the fact, when family began to talk, and they were saying that 2 days prior to that, he went down and changed his insurance policy over, and he bought another burial plot. So he already knew weeks prior what he was going to do. And I was talking to my mom, I said, yeah, He had already had this planned out on how he was going to commit suicide, but yet take everybody's with him in the process. And so we see about it in the news, you know, mass shooters that go shoot up a school or mm-hmm. domestic fights. And, you know, the man or woman ends up turning a gun on them. So relationships mm-hmm. Will cause someone to, you know, bring harm, self-harm to themselves. So those are just some of the clues, you know, to look for and behaviors.
Okay. I just want to read some of the comments. Thank you all for, you know, making these comments on here too. So Jamel McClendon said, oh my God, it's okay to, I'm emotional listening.
Oh,
yeah. Sure, me too. 3000 Degrees said, it happens way too much in the Black population.
Yep.
3000 Degrees also said, Jeff, I commend you for being brave enough to tell your truth.
Thank you.
Me too, honestly.
Yeah. It has taken a lot.
Yeah.
And I give a lot of credit to Derek and Kaya for helping me get to that point of talking about telling myself.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, y'all. Thanks for, because I mean, that's, you know, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to hear it firsthand from someone.
Right.
Let's see. Mr. Muhammad, Julius Muhammad, I pledge to give all I have and all within my power to help our community. I offer many solutions to the problems we face, and I pray to be heard. With God's help, we can make our community a safe and decent place to live. Thank Amen. You, Mr. Muhammad.
Thank you.
3000 Degrees also said isolation, ruminating, mm-hmm. and staying away from larger groups.
Yep. Yep.
Some of the signs to look out for. And then Jamel McClendon also said, oh my God, I need this training. In all caps.
Yeah, all caps. We hear you. We hear you. Yeah. Somebody who's sociable, who's been really sociable, and then all of a sudden you don't see or hear about them anymore, or when you check on them, you don't get a response. That's when a wellness check should be.
If they check on your strong friends, need to be checked on too.
Yeah.
Amen.
And wasn't that Chef Stace that put that on? That was her stat. Check on your strong friends.
Yeah. People that appear to have it all together and
can be crumbling on the inside. On the because inside, the thing about it is we have. I'm sorry, Derek.
Well, you're fine.
We have got so accustomed, as I'm looking out into the hallway at these African masks, we've gotten so accustomed to wearing masks, and we wear multiple masks. So then if one slip or we take one off, we still got one on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so can't nobody know what we really dealing with. And it's time to shred the shame and take off these masks. And let's get help.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, that's just something, you know, we don't talk enough about in our community. You know, another little personal story of mine is, you know, I was made to see a therapist by the court. I ain't crazy or nothing, y'all. It was for something totally unrelated to like flying off the handle. Mm-hmm. But they were like, you got to do, I think it was 8 sessions or something like that. I talked my therapist down to 4.
Ooh, the negotiator you are.
I talked her down to 4, but I did attend those 4 sessions. And man, them people really like do their job well.
They get in like, here, they make you think.
But they really do.
Okay, so question. Since you did that, mm-hmm. what's your perception or what's your take on therapy now?
Oh yeah, I'm totally with it. You know, what's like if I ever came to a point where I thought, you know, things were too much for me and I needed to go see somebody, or you know, I'm fortunate enough that I don't have like, you know, a bunch of baggage and childhood drama and, you know, all that. You know, I think probably one of the more emotional things for me is like growing up without a father. Mm-hmm. But we all know I did my DNA online and found them. So, you know, we're still in the process of that, but it doesn't make me feel one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was kind of prepared. I'm 40. About to be 44 next week. Y'all have a party Saturday. But I'm about to be 44 at the end of the week, and I've gone this long, you know, not knowing, and have plenty of, male support in my family that I really don't feel like it was.
You missed out.
Yeah.
But see, and this is the thing.
But I do have a whole nother family that I don't know.
Right.
So,
you know, and this is the thing. And this is one of the things that got me through, you know, I don't think that I missed out not having my dad in my life. I think he missed out.
That part.
He missed
you know
out.
What? That's right.
He missed out.
That's right.
He missed out on a lot of things. But I will say, as an adult, I opened myself up to get to know him just a little bit before he passed away. And, you know, I think we both were better for that. Although we didn't get a chance to get to know each other the way we should have, at least we had a type of friendship,
right?
And I was at and in my honesty, that was all that I was able to offer him,
right? Well, that's mine good. Didn't even know about me until I reached out, but he remembers like everything.
He
remembers being him, he was a musician. Okay. Go figure. <That is interesting. laughs> I was like, oh, that's where I get it from. Okay. Me and More Coffee said therapy will heal hurts you never knew you had.
True.
I would agree. Definitely. Yeah.
They actually question, like they go way back to childhood to wherever, and it's kind of
to
like
find the root.
To find the root,
you
know, some people walk around with generational trauma. You
know? Oh yeah,
I think we all do.
I was gonna say.
We all.
The more like I was digging into like my ancestry, you know, like I still don't know the story about how my grandfather left. I know that my grandfather left Arkansas and never went back. He never spoke to any of his family again. But now I'm seeing names and I'm trying to get in touch with, you know, grandkids or great grandkids, you know, maybe they know a story. And that's my grandfather on my mother's side. So,
It'll all come together. You on a journey, so it's gonna lead you down the path.
Sometimes you just want to know more.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to know more. So my grandmother was very open about her family and, you know, the things that they went through, which is she had a remarkable story as well, losing her mom, you know, when she was only like 12. And being sent to live with an aunt who had no children, didn't really know how to raise
a kid. So all of those things and all of these traumas, they can culminate into the pressures of, you know, not doing well and
not
being mentally healthy to the point where suicidal thoughts and ideation will rear its ugly head, because it's like, who am I? Where do I come from? What are my roots? And or is this the reason why I'm such a, I don't know. I'm looking around trying to find out why am I like this, and that. Because you don't know, now that's another ingredient to the mix that's trying to pull you down.
Right. But or not Derrick, the mental side. Like, you know, I think mental health, as far as like the names and stuff, everyone had the term mental retardation. Everybody had that term. But over time, as things change and they start doing a little bit more research, you can get more defined with having things, whether it's depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, affective bipolar. But it's good to know who you are and where you come from, because you may have mental illness in your family. And so like, having conversations with people, and it's like, well, you know, I don't know, I was adopted. Well, you might need to do some research, because if you're having these thoughts and your parents are not, they don't have the history, the grandparents, you know, siblings. So it's kind of good to know, you know, where we come from, so we can find out if there is mental illness in our family. So it's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamel McClendon said, it's okay to not be our ancestors. We make a difference today.
That is true.
And that is things that we can change the trajectory of.
Break these curses.
We can break these curses. And breaking the curses is seeking help, learning, going to therapy, talking about it, and not keeping things in that household, in those four walls, and being open with what's going on with you. That's how you break curses.
Yeah.
You know, what's the
generation
saying? Tell the truth for saying the devil.
I'm on the radio. Hold on. That
was say, tell the truth and shame the devil. That's right. And I said that. And basically, what that was, don't hold on to that, because he gonna be lurking to keep you in that dark state of mind. Yeah. Hey, look, just pull a top off this mug. Let's get some sunshine up in this piece.
I know that's right. So again, guys, we got to wrap up. But oh my God, thank you so much.
Yep. No problem.
For coming on today. So again, it is QPR, Question, Persuade, Refer. This is Suicide Prevention Skills Training. And this is going to be led by QPR Gatekeepers. Okay.
He is certified.
They are certified to do this. So Jeff Walker and Erica Nichols Woods. May 17th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Mahali, 2780 Peck Street. Do people need to register beforehand or anything?
No,
they don't. Just show up.
Yep. We'll have a sign-in sheet for everyone. And as Derica stated before,
y'all gonna have snacks?
We'll have some light snacks. We'll have some light snacks. Oh, and so from 6 to 8. And then just to put this out there, so if there's anyone who knows of anyone right now, or if you're thinking about suicide right now, you can call the 1-800 number, which is 1-800-273-TALK.
Yes.
And the TALK number is 8255. So that's 1-800-273-8255. You know, and then they also have a text number where you can text 741-741. And then that's the national suicide text line. Yep. So you can text and someone will respond back to you almost immediately.
All right. So, yeah, y'all put this on your calendar for next week if you would like to go ahead and take this training. Next week with Jeff and DeErica. Again, guys, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. I got to be all upbeat and introduce the next segment.
Tell a joke. Listen, tell a joke.
Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We got the afternoon jams with PA. Y'all keep it locked right here at 103.7 The Beat.
Bye-bye.